Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, it's time for WEEI at Night with Brian Barrett.
Plan A was Kimba Walker and Enes Kanter.
This was probably Plan D.
He's the reason I wear number 11.
I want to be the reason that no one else will.
Dial 617-779-7937.
If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me. He didn't have that. He either needs to move on or we can meet. One of the two. He says he wants to move on. Stop talking about it.
Now, it's time for Brian Barrett on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, well, away we go. Your phone number, 617-779-7937. If you want to hop on board here, a lot to get into. Chris Sale's outing today. What'd you make of that? David Price, the Dennis Eckersley situation, is back. It's well alive again, okay? If you want to weigh in on that, you can do that. Plus, anything that went on yesterday with the Celtics in terms of introducing Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter, the newest members of your Boston Celtics. Real quickly, too, on the David Price, Dennis Eckersley thing, I just don't understand what David Price thought he was going to accomplish there. What did he think was going to happen? The one positive, I guess, you can take out of it, maybe now the negative attention is on David Price, and now the rest of the guys can let loose a little bit, because remember, this all happened after that gruesome loss, that ugly loss on Tuesday night, 10-4. So maybe it takes some of the pressure off some of the other guys now that David Price is like the focal point again. David Price, maybe he got bored. He said, you know what? Nobody hates me now. I've been getting a lot of hate this year. Maybe I got to do something to make myself hated. Oh, Dennis Eckersley's talking about me. Let me get back into the ring. Let me get back into that situation. Yeah. People turn on you again, David Price. That's the reality of where we're at. I don't know what he thought was going to happen from this. Did he really think people weren't going to research the documentary that he was alluding to? What did he watch, like 10 minutes of the documentary and realize Eck was talking about himself in the documentary and he didn't think that other teammates were going to be involved or that they didn't talk to other teammates that he played with? I just have no idea what he was trying to accomplish with this. It almost seems like to me, David Price is so desperate, right? Because he kind of won back the fan base. Like, the fan base was starting to welcome David Price in because David Price performed at a high level in the postseason last year after the first couple of rough outings. He turned it around. He saved Chris Sale by pitching on short rest when Chris Sale couldn't go, right? Chris Sale was dealing with the stomach issue, had shoulder issues. We all know the history of Chris Sale in the postseason last year. So the fan base wanted to buy into David Price, okay? And David Price, it seems like, well, this is the one thing that he can't get over, right? At this particular point in time, he can't get over this thing because it seems like the fan base has kind of let him off the hook for his actions of the past because of he actually went out in October and he proved himself, right? So he had been letting off the hook by the fan base. But this is the one thing that it's like, well, Dennis Eckersley doesn't want to meet with you, right? He said he's never going to meet with them. He doesn't care, Dennis Eckersley said about the situation. He doesn't want to talk about it, right? So this is the one thing that David Price wants maybe to accomplish is to patch up the relationship with Dennis Eckersley, even though he's saying he dislikes him. Maybe all he wants is the PR of that, right? Where Eckersley forgives him and whatnot, and David Price feels like, oh, now everybody has forgiven me. I don't know. I really don't know what he thought he was going to accomplish from this. Did he really think that everybody was going to take his side? Did he really think the fan base was going to be on his side with this particular situation? He has to have a feel of the situation, right? Like, he knows that everybody loves Dennis Eckersley, right? In terms of the fan base, everybody loves Eckersley. Eckersley's great on the Nesson broadcast. Everybody looks forward to the stuff that he says on the broadcast. Everybody likes Eck, right? So I don't understand what he thinks he was going to accomplish by trashing the guy, not to mention the fact that if you're going to trash the guy, at least do some research, at least figure some things out, at least have the proper facts to back up your argument. And he didn't have the proper facts. That's the reality of where David Price was. He did not have the proper facts to come up with a legitimate argument. And that's the concerning thing with David Price. So now where does David Price go from here? Like, David, you realize that actually other guys on Dennis Eckersley's team did want to talk about this? Oh, really? Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Did he think people weren't going to look this up? I mean, it's just perplexing to me. because David Price seems like a smart guy. It seems pretty damn perplexing that he didn't think this thing through. Was he just so red hot emotionally? Was he just so pissed off that this thing was coming back up that he felt like he had to attack Dennis Eckersley again? I just don't get it. Congratulations. You have support from Marcus Stroman. Congrats, man. Hope that works out well for you. Hope that works out well for you that Marcus Stroman is now supporting you. Congrats, dude. You really accomplished a lot over the past couple of days. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. I want to get back to the Celtics or get to the Celtics here because yesterday, Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter were introduced as members of your Boston Celtics. And I got to tell you, I know I'm in the minority with this one. I really didn't like that whole Enes Kanter thing yesterday. I really didn't like it. I know I'm crazy because he was trolling Kyrie and trolling Kyrie's commercial and saying, I want to wear 11 because nobody else can wear it again or whatever the phrase is. He basically mocked Kyrie from the commercial. But here's what I'd say. Who the hell is Enes Kanter to mock Kyrie Irving? Okay, it'd be one thing if it was like even Kemba Walker, but we know Kemba would never do that. Kemba's considered to be the all-class guy, right? The all-world guy in terms of class. He's going to elevate the ethos of the team. He's going to get back to the old culture with the Celtics where everybody's having fun. Everybody likes to play together, right? But Enes Kanter, really? Enes Kanter is the guy that's going to troll Kyrie Irving? He picks his number to troll him? This is a guy that the Knicks just cut. Okay, the Knicks cut him because he had such a bad contract where he's making he was on a four-year deal worth $70 million. The Knicks just straight up cut the dude, not to mention the fact he was a problem in the locker room. Then he goes to the Blazers, and he makes up some story about how the Blazers only gave him 6 minutes to make his decision, which wasn't true. Damian Lillard came out and said it wasn't true. So he made that up. So now we have a troll up there. This is what we've now set ourselves up with for the future of the Celtics, is we have a troll. We have a troll up there who's trolling Kyrie Irving, not to mention the fact the guy plays zero defense whatsoever. So we're all getting super pumped up yesterday if we're Celtics fans because Enes Kanter is trolling Kyrie. Really, that's where we're at now? Because a year ago at this time, we were talking about possibly hanging up another banner in the Garden for a championship for the Celtics, or at least the future was bright. Now we're having press conferences to have a guy trolling Kyrie Irving. That's where we're at. By the way, Nick has it. Let's get to it.
Well, it was my old jersey number, by the way, number 11. And I want to be the resident, no one else will.
Yeah, yeah. You keep mocking Kyrie, man. Enes Kanter. That's where we're at right now. Enes Kanter. How about the fact? Danny Ainge, this is plan A. Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter. Congratulations, Danny Ainge. Your plan A is an absolute troll in Enes Kanter. Okay? By the way, you think about this, okay? Usually when guys go into their prime, years of their career, they get a raise in terms of money. Okay, this guy took a huge pay grade, or pay cut, I should say. He was on a four-year, $70 million contract. It was considered to be an absolutely horrific deal. It was considered to be a bad contract. Now he's coming to the Celtics on a two-year, $10 million deal. It's really a one-year, $5 million deal, because after the second year, he can opt out of the contract. He can opt out of the contract. He has a player option on the deal. So that's where we're at. We're celebrating yesterday this press conference at Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter had. We're celebrating it because Enes Kanter trolled Kyrie. Oh, really? That's what we're doing as Celtics fans right now. We're happy that Enes Kanter is trolling Kyrie Irving. Really? That's pathetic. That is absolutely pathetic that people were pumped up about that yesterday. What a joke. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Hector in Rhode Island. What's up, Hector?
Hey, my question is, I see everyone, you know, annoyed about David Price coming at Dennis Eckersley. But my thing is, Dennis Eckersley is the one who spoke on it. Why can't David Price speak on it? I don't get what Dennis Eckersley has done more for Boston than David Price. David Price won World Series. Where's Dennis Eckersley's World Series?
Well, Hector, I think the point is,
Without David Price, you don't win a World Series last year.
Nobody's arguing that. It's just the way that he went about his argument, his facts were incorrect. Right? That's the problem.
Okay, Everyone's saying, why is it that, you know, David Price, you know, he's not over it? He was over it. Dennis Eckersley spoke on it, so David Price spoke on it. You know, if Dennis...
Right, but Hector, here's the problem. Hector, hold on a second. Here's the problem. David Price just made stuff up. He said that Dennis Eckersley's teammates didn't want to talk about him, and that would not be the case with him, when his facts were incorrect when he said that yesterday. That wasn't true.
Okay, but before you guys did your fact-checking, you still was going at David Price.
Who? David Price, who? Who was going at
it was me.
Hector?
Hector.
Me,
I would speak back.
Hector, there was literally Hector, hold on a second, man. There was literally no controversy with David Price at all this season as it pertains to the media. Nobody had an issue with David Price this year. There hasn't been one issue with David Price this season at all.
So why should there be one now?
Because of what he did yesterday. I don't know how you don't get that.
All right. We owe David Price more than we owe Dennis Eckersley. Dennis Eckersley did not bring us a World Series when David Price did. Without David Price, we don't win one. So
okay. So Hector, let me ask you this. So because he was part of the World Series team last year, now whatever he says, we should just allow him to say it?
Say what? But Dennis Eckersley say what he wants and David Price can't?
Oh, Dennis Eckersley said he doesn't want to talk about it. He's over it, okay?
Sports media is so one-sided, and I can't stand it. You guys start stuff, and then you make everybody, you know, you make everyone try to look at it your way. But you guys know.
Hold on. Do you understand what David Price did yesterday? He essentially said that Dennis Eckersley was a bad teammate because none of the guys wanted to be in his documentary. That was made up. That was not true. That's the problem that everybody has.
You were already dogging him before you knew that.
When was I dogging him? What are you talking about, man? I have no idea what you're talking about. Nobody was dogging David Price before this. What?
No, but because he's a black man, you're sticking up for the white man.
That's absolutely ridiculous. I appreciate the call. No, that's absolutely ridiculous. That is just absolutely ridiculous. That makes no sense whatsoever. And when was anybody this year? Give me the example of people who are getting on David Price this year. What the hell is this guy talking about? That didn't happen. It has nothing to do with race or anything along those lines. David Price literally made something up yesterday. Okay, he said, or I don't want to say he completely made it up, but he didn't have all the facts. He comes out yesterday, and he's trashing Dennis Eckersley, saying that Dennis Eckersley didn't have teammates that wanted to talk about him in the documentary. Not true. Not true. The Boston Globe looked into it, and they found out that they had a bunch of other guys that wanted to talk on X behalf. So that was just not true what David Price was saying. He was saying that, oh, when they do a documentary about me, it's not going to be me in there. It's going to be about my teammates. By the way, if they're doing a documentary about you, David Price, like after your career, they're going to want to talk to you. That's like kind of how a documentary goes. They usually talk to like the biggest subject of the documentary, if you will. So nobody was trashing David Price this season. I don't understand what Hector's talking about whatsoever. Now, last year, were people getting on David Price when he wasn't performing? Yes, but that's what happens. That's the reality of playing in a big media market. If you don't perform well, people are going to call you out. When you sign, at the time, the richest contract in the history of pitchers in Major League Baseball, right? $217 million. When you sign that contract and you come over from the Blue Jays at the time and you perform poorly, really, for what? Until you got to the postseason last year. Now, the second half of last season, he figured it out. But he wasn't near living up to the contract, okay? So people last year were calling him out. Yes, they were. But this year, nobody was calling David Price out. Who was calling David Price out? Nobody was. In fact, everybody was saying that David Price is having his best season as a Red Sox, which he is. No argument there. The guy's pitched unbelievable this season, okay? Or at least really, really good this season. Not to say it's living up to the $217 million, but he's pitching really well this year. You can't really have many complaints when it comes to David Price. But I don't know how anybody could defend David Price yesterday with the way that he handled the Dennis Eckersley situation. It just doesn't make any sense that anybody could possibly take Price's side on this thing. It just made no sense what he was doing. I don't understand how it helped him whatsoever either. What were people supposed to say? Oh, yeah, well, David Price is saying something that isn't true about Dennis Eckersley, but he won us a World Series, so let's support him when he's acting like an idiot? I mean, that just makes no sense to me whatsoever. I don't get why anybody would support David Price when it comes to this situation yesterday. I mean, it was absolutely clueless. It was absolutely clueless. And what it shows you, too, is David Price is very thin-skinned when it comes to criticism, right? Think about it. This is the same guy that the first thing that he was thinking about last year after he won the World Series was what? The media. He went out to the podium and said, I held all the cards now. I hold the Trump card. That's what was the number one thing on David Price's mind after he won the World Series. That's what he was saying to the media. I hold all the Trump cards now, and that feels so good. That was the number one thing that was on his mind. Think about that. Usually out there, you're celebrating with your teammates. He's out there before the media even gets into the room. because he wants to call out the media. That was the number one thing in the back of his head. I can't wait to call out the media. That's what he was thinking. And yesterday, this Dennis Eckersley situation, I just don't know how anybody can possibly defend David Price in this situation. He made crap up. He said stuff that wasn't true. I just don't get how people are defending him. I don't. Hector's making this a race. It's not a race thing. It's David Price was acting like an idiot yesterday. He didn't have all the facts. I mean,
where's everybody at?
Yeah, that's what he did. Or that was hilarious last year. But the documentary, by the way, to David Price's like calling out Eck, it's called Eck on Eck. You make a documentary about Dennis Eckersley because he's one of the most fascinating people in baseball. He's entertaining. So you want to hear Eck talking about himself. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to John. He's in a car. What's up, John?
How you doing tonight?
Good. What do you got, man?
Just a little thing on the new Celtic
yeah, Canner.
You know what? Honest to God, I mean, I don't know what this guy's going to do, but, you know, he has a lot of offense. You know, he's a great rebounder on the offensive end, but defense, not that great. But it's about time some player brings Kyrie out, because Kyrie Irving, he flip-flops from hour to hour, day to day. And, I didn't like seeing him go.
Hold on, though, John. John, hold on one sec, John. Let me say something to that. Okay, there was a member of the Celtics team this year that called out Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown. He said the leadership has to start at the top. It's not just the young guys. And when Jaylen Brown said that, he just stayed in the doghouse, stayed coming off the bench. Jaylen Brown was the one guy that was legitimately willing to say something publicly with his own name on it. No anonymous quotes or anything along those lines. He actually said something about Kyrie. And what happened to Jaylen Brown? He was just put in the doghouse. So I don't want to make it out like nobody called out Kyrie Irving. Now, he was enabled by a lot of people, but Jaylen Brown called him out.
Starts from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top.
I understand that, but I'm talking someone that has more than 3 years in the NBA. Because
yeah, but John, let me ask you this. What was difficult about what Cantor did yesterday? He knows that everybody in Boston hates Kyrie Irving, right? So he mocks Kyrie Irving, he trolls Kyrie Irving. What was difficult about what Cantor did yesterday? How was that tough to do?
It wasn't, but in all honesty, if you look at Kyrie Irving, he's a great guard.
Yeah.
But without LeBron James, I know he hit that shot at the end of the game there, beat Golden State, but without LeBron James, he's not in the position to do that on his own.
Yeah, nobody's arguing that.
But the point is, Kyrie Irving, you'll see, just watch. If things go south on the Brooklyn team, watch how he changes his tune there.
Oh, I'm with you on that, John. I'm with you on that. He's a mess in the locker room. I'm completely with you on that. I think he could completely wreck the Nets culture. And look, Kevin Durant's an idiot. Kevin Durant had an opportunity to go back and play with Steph Curry, or Kawhi Leonard called him and recruited him to go to the Clippers with him. He didn't go there. He decided to stick with his friend Kyrie. I mean, guy's an idiot.
Well, he's going to be a shell of himself, I'm telling you, with his injury and his age.
I'm with you. I'm with you, John. I agree, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab John's line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. Look, I'm not trying to be a pro Kyrie guy. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm just saying, it's not like Cantor took any risk what he did yesterday. He knows that everybody in this town hates Kyrie Irving right now. So he's playing up to the fan base, right? He wants to be a fan favorite, if you will. He wants people to buy his Enes Kanter number 11 jerseys. That's all he's doing. And I'm just saying, when you're Enes Kanter, you don't have the ability to call out a guy like Kyrie Irving. He shouldn't be the guy calling out Kyrie Irving. You're not on that level, dude. You just signed a 2-year, $10 million deal after having a 4-year, $70 million deal. That means that there wasn't a big market for Enes Kanter, okay, who's a bench center on most teams, but he's going to be starting for the Celtics because, hell, they don't have another center right now. So I just don't think Enes Kanter should be the guy calling out Kyrie Irving. The dude's a troll. That's all he is, okay? He's not good enough to do that. If somebody else in the NBA wants to do it, like somebody that's at a high enough level, okay, you call out Kyrie Irving. But Enes Kanter, really? You don't have the resume to call out Kyrie Irving. Let's get to Tom in South Boston. What's up, Tom?
Hey there. So a couple things.
Sure.
I was going to talk about David Price, but my first question, I guess, is, I mean, how did Enes Kanter call out Kyrie Irving? What was it that he said about number 11?
He mocked his commercials. That's the reason he picked number 11. He's saying, because I'm going to wear it so nobody else will. Remember Kyrie's commercial with his father when they were playing one-on-one at the Garden?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a stretch to say that that's like, I think we're being a little harsh on the new guy here. I get it. He's not on the level, but like, let's let's pump the brakes a little bit.
No, I just think it's pathetic. I just think it's pathetic, Tom, that everybody's like celebrating Enes Kanter doing that yesterday. Because we got a guy that is a liability defensively, but everybody's getting on board with Enes Kanter because he called out Kyrie. Like, congrats.
Okay. I am 100% on the David Price train here. I think that, first, you say that he comes out yesterday and says these things. I think he was, you gotta understand, he was approached by the media about something he probably didn't see coming. He goes...
No, that's not true. That's not true, Tom. That's not true. Because Steve Buckley was the first one to ask him, like, do you want to comment on this? And he says, no, I want to do it in front of everybody. So, yeah, he wanted to do it in front of everybody.
So he goes and does it in front of everybody. He's got his opinion based on what he saw in the documentary and what he thought was true, right? So he thought there were no other teammates in the thing. He was wrong, right? He was wrong.
Yeah, but Tom, it's also like character assassination the way he went about it. He basically said that none of his teammates wanted to be in it, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Okay, so he's wrong, but I don't think he was lying, right? I don't think that's like, he's got his opinion. These are two adults who disagree, right? So he's not going to, obviously, he kind of has his mind made up going into watching the documentary, I'm sure, right? Like, no one's standing up for this guy. Look, I think David Price was being a pretty darn good teammate. Everyone says that he started it. I don't think so. I think that when he hears a commentator, you know, make a derogatory sound or comment or whatever
about E-Rod?
Yeah, I think a teammate.
Okay, so Tom, let me ask you this. Tom, let me ask you this question then. Okay, so they show the E-Rod numbers from his rehab stint, if you will, and they weren't pretty. What do you want Eckersley to say? Well, the numbers aren't great, but let's hope he can get it together. Like, what do you want him to say? He's paid to give his opinion. He said, yuck. It wasn't even that big of a deal.
Yeah, right. So, but for E-Rod, that might rub him the wrong way, right? So that might bother E-Rod or whatever. And I think as a leader on a team or a clubhouse, you stand up for your guys. And that's what Price did. And it got ugly. And I think there totally should have been an apology because these are two grown-ups, and there wasn't. But I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, and then Price, look, it's not his fault he got paid $217 million. It's the Red Sox fault he got paid $217. Like, I get it. He's got a lot to live up to, but that's a it's kind of hard to hate a guy because he did well in his contract negotiation.
Well, I mean, I don't dislike him for that, and I appreciate the call, Tom. I don't even dislike David Price for his contract. I don't even dislike David Price, quite frankly. I just think the way that he handled this situation yesterday was dumb. It was idiotic. It made no sense whatsoever. If that's the only part of the documentary you've seen, well, at least make sure you know the facts that there were players just said, no, none of his ex-teammates want to do this interview, right? Because we know that they had feature interviews with Ron Darling, Mark McGwire, and Fred Lynn. Okay, so you had guys that wanted to talk about Enes Eckersley. So David Price is just going out there and he's saying something that isn't true. Okay, even if you didn't see the whole documentary, don't you want to make sure that if you're going to call somebody out, you're basically assassinating Enes Eckersley's character as a teammate. If you're going to do that, don't you want to make sure you have all the facts of the situation to make it sound like his teammates didn't like him? It's just ridiculous. I mean, be prepared. If you want to attack Enes Eckersley, be prepared to do it. All right, a lot more to get into if you want to hop on board. Number 617-779-7937. What do you make of the David Price, Enes Eckersley situation? How about your new Celtics? Do you like the direction the team is going? Do you like the new troll that is Enes Kanter on this team? 617-779-7937.
WEEI 93.7 FM.
Plan A was Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter. And we're very fortunate that they chose the Boston Celtics. And very excited about what they bring in many facets of the game, but also as people. And who they are is just as important as what they are on the court and what they represent.
Oh, boy. That was a celebration yesterday. Danny Ainge introducing Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter. It was his plan A. What do you think of Danny Ainge's plan A? 617-779-7937. Now, I do believe what he's saying is after he knew that Kyrie wasn't going to be here, Kemba Walker was clearly plan A. Go after Kemba Walker. Okay, that makes sense. But don't put Enes Kanter in the same conversation as Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker is a really damn good player. But Enes Kanter, really? And this is something that concerns me about Kemba Walker going forward. This is what Enes Kanter said yesterday about one of the reasons he picked the Celtics. Quote, "One of the reasons I picked Boston was because of Kemba Walker. He called me during free agency on Danny Ainge's phone. He said, hey, how we doing, big man? That was special to me." Okay, here we go. So this is the NBA nowadays. You recruit other guys, okay? So we got Kawhi Leonard out here recruiting Paul George, telling Paul George, hey, Paul, get the hell out of Oklahoma City. I'm going to L.A. You're coming with me, okay? Force your way out of there. We'll play together. We'll hook up together in L.A., okay? They're recruiting each other. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving working on each other to team up. James Harden's calling up Russell Westbrook. Hey, Russell, ask for a trade out of there, okay? Let's get together here in Houston. Let's do this thing. Let's rekindle the flame that we once had as members of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Let's get together. Let's team up, baby. LeBron says to Anthony Davis, hey, get your way out of New Orleans. You know what your leader does? You know what your guy does? Your big ticket item does? You know what Kemba Walker does? Says, you damn right I'm going to get on Danny Ainge's phone. Danny, give me the phone. Who you calling, Kemba? Who we calling here? Who we got? Who's on the hook? Who we calling? Who we going after? We're going after Enes Kanter, baby. Let's go. Cue the damn duck boats, all right? You have Enes Kanter. My God. So this is the recruiter we have. Kemba Walker, not exactly John Calipari. He will not be mistaken for John Calipari. Although I guess the good thing when it comes to that is you won't be on sanctions. You won't have to take down Final Four banners if you're Kemba Walker, because you went after Enes Kanter, who like literally one other team in the league wanted. The Blazers.
Get the duck boats ready!
Yeah, and they didn't really even care. The Blazers like, yeah, okay, that's fine. We'll be okay without Enes. Hey, a couple of nice games in the postseason for us. But this is the same Enes Kanter that, if you remember, a couple of years ago, when Kevin Durant was still a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, him and Russell Westbrook together were playing the Golden State Warriors. And during that series, Billy Donovan, the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, he actually got caught on camera mouthing, can't play Kanter. Meaning he couldn't play Enes Kanter because he was such a liability from a defensive perspective. That's the guy that all the Celtics fans were so excited about yesterday, trolling Kyrie Irving, and Kemba Walker was recruiting him. Kemba Walker was recruiting him. Now, one big thing I did take out of the press conference yesterday, from a positive perspective, I'm not joking about this at all. One thing I did like about what came out of that press conference is Kemba Walker yesterday, he was talking to Jackie McMullen after, and he talked about Jason Tatum and how Jason Tatum actually recruited Kemba Walker. He said he did not say come here at all. It was more so of about the city, about the fans, the atmosphere, Coach Stevens, and some of the players of the team last season and how things went. He went on to say, me and Jason actually spoke. We spoke for quite some time. Jason's such a good guy, such a great player. For the most part, I like being around high character guys with work ethic, just guys who I can be around, be myself around. That's kind of the vibe I got from JT when I was around him. So the reason I like this is because of what Tatum did, okay? Because what we've seen around the NBA is what? Unlike Kemba Walker, who's a terrible recruiter going after Enes Kanter, part of being an NBA star now, right? And part of definitely being an NBA superstar now, as we saw with Kawhi Leonard, as we saw with James Harden, as we saw with LeBron James, part of being an NBA superstar now is you got to be able to recruit guys. And now Jason Tatum is entering year three of his NBA career. And we would all acknowledge the fact that, yeah, the points per game he averaged more last year, but you would acknowledge that he took a step back last year, right? The efficiency was not there. He developed a lot of bad habits. He took a ton of bad twos. So we can acknowledge he took a little bit of a step back, or at the very least, he stayed the same. He did not propel forward. Like people were talking about him last year, oh, this could be a 10-time All-Star. This could be a future MVP. He did not live up to the hype after what he did in the postseason against the Milwaukee Bucks a couple of years ago, against the 76ers, against the Cavaliers, right? He did not live up to what we thought he was going to be in year two. So Jason Tatum realizes himself that he needs help. And Jason Tatum realizes that ultimately where he wants to get to is he wants to be a star in this league. So we all know he's around the Team USA guys. He's a Jordan Brand guy. That's where he was recruiting Kemba Walker, is when they were doing a thing for Jordan Brand in Paris. So already Jason Tatum, even if he didn't live up to the hype in year two after a tremendous rookie season, we don't know this about Jason Tatum. The guy's already recruiting guys to come to the Celtics, which is the biggest thing to me out of this press conference. Out of everything that came out of the press conference yesterday, the Danny Ainge thing, the Plan A thing, I mean, it's bull crap. I can get into that in further detail as we go on. And, I mean, really, if it was Plan A, shame on you, Danny. But nonetheless, when you look at it from the Jason Tatum perspective, Jason Tatum is somebody that, of course, you drafted here. You want him to propel into a superstar here. And he's already recruiting guys that he thinks are going to help his game develop, right? Because what I can see from Jason Tatum is this. Even though Kyrie was supposed to be his boy and all this, they were both Duke guys and we get all this. But clearly, Jason Tatum and Kyrie Irving on the basketball court, it didn't work well, okay? It did not work well. And Jason Tatum developed all these bad habits. Maybe what Jason Tatum is thinking is, listen, when this worked for me, when I was performing at a high level, when everybody was labeling me the next star in this league after the postseason, what happened? Oh, yeah, I was playing with a guard, and he was nowhere near the talent level of Kyrie Irving, but he was actually running the system, Terry Rozier, right? And you know me, not the biggest Terry Rozier fan, but at least in that postseason run, he didn't have the ability to hijack the offense like Kyrie did this year, right? Terry Rozier can't get away with doing that crap because he's Terry Rozier. So he's running Brad's system, and he sees a guy like Kemba Walker, who's a pick-and-roll type player, and he's somebody that hasn't had the talent around him before. He's looking at Kemba Walker and saying, look, this dude is getting lowballed by the Hornets organization because they're only offering him $161 million or $160. They were offering him $61 million less than he could get under the Supermax, right? So he's thinking to himself, we can get a Kemba Walker who likes to play in pick and roll situations. Maybe we can do a 1-3 pick and roll, which would be great, where I can set a pick for Kemba. He can run off me and I can pop out. I can go to the basket, whatever the case may be. He knows that Kemba Walker is going to be in a situation where he's thirsting to win, where he's desperate to win basketball games. And he sees him, oh yeah, he's probably not as talented as Kyrie, but he's pretty damn close, right? He's pretty close to Kyrie from a talent perspective. Maybe not exactly Kyrie, but I know this about Kemba Walker. He's going to be more open to Brad Stevens' system because we already know that Kemba Walker was hanging out at Brad Stevens' house the other night watching film of Brad Stevens' system. So he's going to get the best out of me. If I'm Jason Tatum, that's what I'm thinking. So Jason Tatum is now taking it upon himself. With Kyrie out the door, what I love about Jason Tatum is he's doing this. He's saying, okay, this is my team again. And what scared me initially about the Kemba Walker thing is now Kemba will be the face of the team this year and all that different type of stuff. But what concerned me originally with the Kemba Walker deal is I want to see the kids develop, meaning Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I fear that, okay, maybe Kemba Walker could halt some of that development because I just want to find out how good Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are. But this is somebody that Jason Tatum wants to play with. And Jason Tatum is saying, all right, now that Kyrie's out the door, now that Horford's out the door, this is my team. So I need to find myself a running mate. And how often do we see that from a kid in his third NBA season? Jason Tatum in his third NBA season, not even his third, entering his third NBA season, he's playing recruiter. He's going after guys to bring them to the Celtics. And look, it wasn't like Jason Tatum's what put Kemba Walker over the top coming to the Celtics. It looked like there was a ton of interest already. But I love the fact that Jason Tatum is somebody that is willing to say, I need some help. Let me try to get Kemba Walker. This is now my team. Because that's what Jason Tatum wants to happen, right? Jason Tatum wants him to be Batman, and he wants Kemba Walker to eventually turn into Robin and be second in command. Now, heading into the season, obviously, Kemba Walker is the significantly better player. He's the more established player. But maybe what Jason Tatum is thinking now, hey, Al Horford's out of here. Kyrie Irving's out of here. Kemba Walker's in, but I now have my ability to develop as a face of the franchise, so to speak. I can now take on that role of being the face of this team and being the face of this organization. So maybe this whole ethos, this whole culture thing, maybe the best thing we'll get out of it, because we know Kemba's going to elevate the culture. That's what they keep telling us. But maybe the best thing we'll get out of this situation is Jason Tatum developing into a star and this becoming Jason Tatum's team. Because what I want to see is by the end of the year, this becomes either Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown's team. That's what I want to find out about these guys. Can they carry an NBA franchise? Because we know Kemba is never going to be the guy that carries a team to an NBA championship. But maybe now, maybe with Kemba Walker, he can be part of the maturation process for both Brown and Tatum. Maybe with the better culture, if you will, that can be part of the thing going forward with this team. So I love the fact that Tatum was actually recruiting Kemba Walker. That's the thing that I took out of this the most. I mean, the whole crap about Enes Kanter joking about Kyrie. You're Enes Kanter. Okay, shut up. I don't really care what Enes Kanter has to say. And you're introducing him with Kemba. I get a lot of teams do that, but come on. Like, you got one high-priced free agent, and you got Enes Kanter. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Mike in North Providence. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Hey, how you doing there, Brian?
Good.
Yeah, with regards to Tatum, I think one of the big problems for him last year, in fact, I know this is just the fact, he couldn't get to the free throw line.
Yep.
And
2.9 attempts per game, Mike.
Huh?
2.9 free throw attempts per game.
Yeah, but a lot of that is him. I mean, I remember him, just the constant theme was yelling at the refs.
Yeah.
I mean, this you have to understand, you get a foul called if the ref blows his whistle, and if the ref's like, you're not high profile enough for me to be calling fouls for you. They just don't do it. I mean, I remember last year, or I think it was last year, maybe the year before, Paul George complaining about when he got traded to OKC, the fact that he wasn't getting foul calls anymore. You know, he used to, because when he was in Indy, he was the whole show.
Right.
And when he went to OKC and he's out there with Russell Westbrook, the way the refs are is like, they're like, well, you know, Westbrook is more higher status than you are, so we're going to call fouls for Russell and we'll call some for you. And he's like, hey, wait a sec, I'm getting fouled just as much as I ever did. Mm. You know, but this is how the NBA works. So last season, as much of a jerk as Kyrie was, and he was a complete tool, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the problem for somebody like Tatum is the fact that Rozier's taking shots, and Marcus Morris is taking shots, and Al's taking shots, and it's like it's all the shots being taken away from underneath. And now, you know, the referee looks at him. It's like, you know, I mean, if you're scoring 20 points a game, I'd call that, but you're only scoring 15. So, you know what? I'm not going to call that foul for you. And so what ends up happening is the guy ends up settling for jumpers. That is just a natural sort of thing in the game. I mean, because if you know that you're going to get clubbed in there and they're not going to blow a whistle, then the tendency is to just take the thing you think you can shoot without getting fouled.
Mike, I see where you're coming from, Mike. I see where you're coming from. I understand where you're going with this. But I also think part of it, too, Mike, is his ball handling's got to be better. He is not tight with his ball handling.
I think he's a pretty good. I think he's a pretty good ball handler for a wing. He's a better ball handler than Jalen is, but Jalen's stronger. So he's
Jalen's no nonsense. Jalen gets the ball, and I mean, he's flying to the rim. Jason Tatum's the lull you to sleep type of guy, but I like the way that Jalen plays, especially on the break. I mean, that guy is just devastating. But Mike, the thing that I'm looking forward to with this team is to see what we have with Tatum and Brown, because they had that opportunity in the postseason 2 years ago, and they were both great. So I want to see them. Now they should be the number two and the number three option in the offense. I mean, that's the reality of it. That's what they should be. And they may even, one of them takes off, they could morph into the number one guy.
Well, I think this is the streamlining of the offense, where they're just the, you know, Bikemba and Gordon as well. Those four guys just kind of get all the shots or get the vast majority. In fact, you know what the really disturbing things to me is, reading about how Marcus Smart is deciding he's not going to be passive this year. And I'm that sounds to me like he wants to shoot a lot. You know, maybe he needs to be on another team, because I've had enough of this.
Hey, you know what, Mike? He's got a nice contract. He's got a nice contract. I mean, you could trade him. I mean, a contender would want him. He's got a nice contract.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Maybe Miles Turner, you know, you might be able to work something like that out, you know, send him over to the Pacers. Because honestly, I don't need this guy taking a bunch of shots. We're on the verge of actually getting some sort of semblance of order on the team. Where, you know, one of the key things is, this just gets forgotten, is that a lot of the game just ends up being about, like, who's hot on that particular night. That was one of the things that the Warriors had going for them. They had three great scorers, any one of whom could get hot and carry the team to victory.
Right.
And Klay Thompson had a 60-point game, 60 points in 29 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's out there with Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry, but they got out of his way. They just let him go. And it was the same for all the rest of them. On our team last year, the only person who was allowed to get hot was Kyrie. And everybody else, you know, Tatum, Brown, whatever, if they got some hit like two or three shots in a row, it's like, okay, now it's Marcus Morris's turn.
Yeah.
And hopefully this season, they'll actually be able to get on a roll. So,
Yeah, it's a great point. I appreciate the call, Mike. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. It was almost like this competition with the team, too. Like, yeah, Kyrie was doing his thing, but to Mike's point, like, Tatum would get hot or Jaylen Brown would get hot, and then someone else would be like, Marcus Morris, be like, oh, it's my turn. I got to get hot. Marcus Smart, oh, I got to get my opportunity. And if Marcus Smart's saying this crap about he's got to be more aggressive, that's the last thing you need for Marcus Smart from an offensive perspective. Play your defense, and we'll worry about the offense. Okay, Marcus, you take it easy here. We'll worry about the offense on the other side. Okay, Tatum, Brown, Gordon Hayward, Kemba, they'll worry about the offense. You just worry about playing some defense. All right, 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board here. Danny Ainge says plan A was Enes Kanter and Kemba Walker. Are you buying it? Brian Barrett with you right here, WEI Late Night.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
All right, Brian Barrett with you, WEEI Late Night, 617-779-7937 is your number. JD from 103.3 Amp Radio is going to join us at the top of the hour. He'll be with us till 2 a.m. Okay, so getting back to the Celtics thing real quickly here. So Danny Ainge saying yesterday that Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter were plan A. Now, I buy into the Kemba thing because he's saying when they were getting ready for free agency after the draft, he knew that Kyrie wasn't going to be coming back. So I get it from the Kemba perspective. It's like, all right, we need a point guard. Let's go after the best point guard on the market at that particular point in time, knowing that Kyrie was going elsewhere. Let's go after Kemba Walker. Okay, that makes sense. But you can't put Enes Kanter into the category of plan A, because if that was your plan A, Danny, shame on you, my friend. I mean, that's just a bad job out of you. Nobody else in the league wanted this guy. I mean, Portland did, but that was pretty much it. The Knicks cut him. This is a guy that was cut by the Knicks, and you're telling us that 4 months later, he's part of your plan A in free agency? Come on, Danny. You're better than that. You know we're not going to buy into that, Danny. Come on. You're better than that, man. And we also know this. Remember, we were doing a show the night that free agency began. Okay, we were doing a show. Nick was here as well. We were doing a show. It was like a five-hour show right after the free agency thing went nuts, right? Kyrie made his decision. Durant made his decision. And we knew that Kemba was coming to the Celtics. And then we were getting all this reporting from like legitimate NBA insiders saying that the Celtics were trying to do a sign-and-trade so that they could keep Al Horford. Okay, so they could keep Al Horford. Steve Bulpet of the Boston Herald then reported that even if the Celtics pull off the necessary salary cap gymnastics, was the terminology he used, even if they were able to do that, well, Al Horford still doesn't want to come back to the Celtics. But this is the point. They wanted Al Horford. Al Horford was part of Plan A. Plan A was Al Horford and Kemba. Okay? Plan A was not Al Horford, or rather, Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter. So that's the reality that Danny Ainge isn't living in right now. To say that this was plan A, yeah, the Kemba part, we get it. We get it. You knew Kyrie was out the door. You knew that he had his bags packed. He was ready to go to Brooklyn, right? You knew about that. But you thought that you could get Al. That was something that I thought was embarrassing for the Celtics, by the way, that night. I actually said it that night because when it was first happening, I'm like, oh, wow, there's a chance that maybe they can do some salary cap gymnastics, like Steve Bulpet saying. Maybe they can, to use his term, I should say, maybe there's something the Celtics can do to keep Al. And if you get Kemba and you still have Al, even though Kemba's not as talented as Kyrie, well, at least you can say, oh, the culture, it's going to elevate the team. At least that's a nice save, right? To have Al with Kemba, right? At least that's a nice save. But no, that's not what happened whatsoever. They were going after Enes Kanter. According to Danny Ainge, that was the plan. Plan A was Enes Kanter and Kemba Walker, not Kemba Walker and Al Horford. Okay, Danny, that's where you went overboard here. That's where you went overboard. You want to talk up Kemba? Okay. Okay. We get it. You wanted Kemba over Kyrie. Okay. We get it. Okay. Ethos, culture, all that different type of stuff. But when you lose me is when you say that plan A involved Enes Kanter, who got cut by the Knicks. The Knicks didn't want Enes Kanter. There was one other team, the Portland Trailblazers, that actually wanted Enes Kanter. This guy should legitimately be coming into his NBA prime as a basketball player. He went from a contract that paid him $70 million over 4 years to a new contract that you just gave him that's paying him $10 million over two seasons. Okay, so clearly the market doesn't value the guy, but apparently in your mind, he was plan A. And man, Kemba, step your game up, dude. You went to UConn. You played for Jim Calhoun. guy was a tremendous recruiter. Also, you know, he had some issues in terms of the sanctions and whatnot. But you should have learned from a good recruiter like Jim Calhoun. This is the guy you're using Danny Ainge's phone to call? Enes Kanter? Come on, man. You're better than that. You are better than that. All right, a lot more to get into. JD from 103.3 Amp Radio is going to join us. All this stuff's still on the table. Chris Sale's performance, David Price and Dennis Eckersley. What do you make of your Celtics? Do you like the fact that Enes Kanter is trolling Kyrie Irving? All that on the table at 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.